compassion. Literally to suffer with, or to do something with passion. Passion comes from two different words. One, the Latin meaning to suffer, and the other a French word meaning with strong feeling. Both of those words can tie into the meaning of compassion. To suffer with someone, to have strong feelings about someone or about what they're going through. When Noah Webster published an American Dictionary of the English Language in 1828, he began his definition of compassion this way, a suffering with another. But I thought this was poignant. Painful sympathy. Compassion isn't just about knowing what someone else is going through. Compassion is in some way experiencing pain with them. Psychologist Kristen Neff writes, compassion then involves the recognition and clear seeing of suffering. It also involves feelings of kindness for people who are suffering, so that the desire to help, to ameliorate suffering, emerges. We often think of ourselves as being called to have compassion. We see many, many times when Jesus had compassion. Read the Gospels. He took pity, some of the older translations, but more of the newer translations talk about Jesus having compassion on people. And the interesting thing is compassion always led to action. It always led to Jesus doing something to alleviate someone's suffering. But God is also compassionate. We heard from the prophet Isaiah, the Common English Bible talks about God being distressed when Israel was distressed. That their suffering was a suffering for him. Their suffering distressed him. Compassion. Suffering with someone. Feeling a painful sympathy. Sometimes in today's world that's so wrought with political division, compassion can be a difficult topic to talk about. This series makes a connection between the scripture passage today of the Holy Family being refugees in Egypt, escaping tyranny and oppression to save Jesus' life, with the many, many people around the world who are seeking refuge in foreign countries. Sometimes here, sometimes in countries all around the world, as they too seek either economic oppression or political oppression or ethnic or religious oppression. And that sometimes gets seen as a political topic. I was reviewing the script with somebody this week, and as we were reviewing the script, the feeling came up that it was too political to deal with. And that raised several questions for me. The issue is to what happens when acting with compassion, as we are called to do, rubs up against political issues of the day and the way governments might be dealing with poverty and compassion, or poverty and refugee folks and immigration and homelessness and the whole, all the other ways that people suffer in this world. And as I was thinking about compassion and that tension we sometimes feel, several questions came to my mind. Now, they might be questions that you've thought about, are thinking about. Maybe they are. Maybe they're questions you have answers to, or they're just matters you've never pondered. But one of the questions that came up to me was, to what lengths am I willing to go to alleviate suffering? I was thinking of the people who are leaving food and water in the desert for those who are crossing into our country illegally so that they might have nourishment and not die in trying to find a better life and to escape the suffering in their homeland. And that led me to a second question. If showing compassion requires breaking the law, which do I think God is more concerned about? Sometimes that may seem like an easy question, but sometimes it might not. I thought of the Underground Railroad and how we praise those who participated in that. The Underground Railroad was illegal. I think of the church that started opening its doors on winter nights so that homeless people could just come in, and they were shut down by the city because they didn't meet certain code requirements. The third question came to is, to what extent do I resist showing compassion because I don't know what the other person is going through? Sometimes it's easy to take a stand on certain grounds, whether ethical or moral or legal, but we don't know what that other person is going through. This kind of thought first came to mind in one day talking about refugees and immigration, and someone posed a question to me that I didn't have a good answer for. And the question was, how bad do you think things would have to be for you to pick up your family and to walk hundreds of miles or to hop into a little boat to sail out into the massive ocean, knowing that when you got where you were going, they might not even let you in? How bad would things have to be? And yet, obviously, for people all around the world, things are that bad where people are doing that. How does trying to grasp that might change my understanding of compassion and maybe even what I'm willing to do for refugees and for others seeking asylum? And finally, and maybe this was the most down-to-earth and the most real question for me, is, does showing compassion require me to get my hands dirty, or can I just carry a sign or write a check? What does really painful sympathy require of me? What does really trying to alleviate someone else's suffering require of me? Now, there's other questions popping through my head, and you might have others popping through yours, and I don't know what the right answer is to all of those questions. I might think I know the right answer for me. It might not be the right answer for you. Maybe there isn't a good answer to some of these questions. Maybe it's meant to be a tension, a struggle, as we try to live out our faith and live out compassionate joy in our world. Sometimes when things are difficult, it's easy to just keep trying to talk and to try to explain and to cover all the bases and to answer questions, which usually raises more questions. And so I tried to find a story. I didn't have a good one. I was even encouraged by Lori to use a story this morning as a way of kind of relieving some of my pressure of having to prepare a sermon. But in lieu of a question, I came up with a couple poems. Really, two poems and a blessing. And I'm just going to read through and pause briefly after each one, let them sink in, maybe let God speak to us through them. And then after both poems, I'll close with a blessing. And this is called Angels Still Appear, a poem by a woman named Anne Weems. It's from a book she wrote called Advent's Alleluia to Easter's Morning Light, Poetry for Worship, Study, and Devotion. Angels still appear to those ready to receive blessings, in spite of the barren impossibility of their lives. Elizabeth still recognizes Jesus and calls him Lord, receiving him to her heart, in spite of the distraction of her own blessing. Blessings still come to those who believe that nothing is impossible in the hand of God. Mary still gives birth, not just every Advent. Mary still gives birth to this child who advents into hearts unexpectedly and forever. Herod still lives who would kill this child. And Mary and Joseph still flee into the desert and the night to protect the one given into their keeping. Doors still slam in the ends of this world. Herod still plot to kill. Deserts and darkness still threaten our safety. But God still lives. In spite of war and terror, Mary gives birth to the Prince of Peace. In spite of hunger, Mary still gives birth to the Bread of Life. And a poem by Howard Thurman called The Work of Christmas. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the people, to make music in the heart. And finally, a blessing from our Franciscan brothers. Maybe this is a way to send us off into the new year, even though we still have some of the service to go. May God bless us with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths and superficial relationships, so that we may live deep within our hearts. May God bless us with anger at impression, injustice, and the exploitation of people, so that we may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless us with tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, hunger, and war, so that we may reach out our hands to comfort them and turn their pain into joy. And may God bless us with enough foolishness to believe that we can make a difference in this world, so that we can do what others claim cannot be done, to bring justice and kindness to all of God's children. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.